And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
It's time to throw patience out the window. It's decision time for fantasy owners, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 15, Waiver Wire Edition. It's Nick Alberga, joined alongside Jake Hahn. What's going on, Jake?
Happy to be here. Happy Monday to all our listeners out there. It is decision time, and we will do our best to help make those decisions. As always, this episode is brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
So, Jake, I put together a bit of an exercise to start today's podcast, just based on sort of polling around, you know, Instagram and social media, and a lot of people asking questions about some guys they drafted early on in the season. I don't know if you agree. I do think it's a time in the year where you got to make a decision on some of these guys, right?
I generally like to stress patience, Nick, but at this point of the season, I think that kind of goes out the window, especially if you're in your fantasy league and you're sitting there, I want to say a bubble playoff team outside of a playoff spot. I think it's time to make a move or cut ties with players that you are maybe a little too loyal to. Again, I'm fine being patient those first couple of months, but we've reached this point of the season, Nick. I think it's time to make those difficult decisions that can win or lose you a league.
I've got a couple files I'm going to throw your way. I should mention as well, Pete Jensen's coming up for your weekly look at the waiver wire. Tim Kalinowski from Snapback Sports will be by for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. The first name for you, Jake, you ready?
I'm ready. I don't know where you're going with this one.
Well, it's a team that just beat your Packers, Philadelphia. Oh. Owen Tippett. So he has 1 goal, 4 points over the past 9 outings, 43 games, 12 goals, 26 points. He was a top 80 file entering this season outside the top 150. Hold or fold on Owen Tippett?
Salt in the wound, Nick, with that Packers reference early in the show. You're getting it out of the way early. I appreciate that. Oh, so we can only go up from here. But I'm going to hold on Tippett. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little too loyal to this file, Nick, but I was really bullish on him coming into this year, looking at guys that had potential in Philly. I think I was looking at him, maybe a Forrester. Obviously, a lot of people were looking at Michkov there as the rookie coming over from Russia. I'm going to hold. It's just tricky with this Torts offense, man. You never know who's going to be on the first line, the third line, the first power play, the second power play. What say you on Tippett? Because this is a tricky one for me, but I still see enough potential in this player who loves to rip the puck that I'd hang on for a little longer.
I am teetering. I won't lie. This is a very dependent on who's available on your waiver wire, but you're asking me the question. Fold him, Jake. I just can't wait around any longer this season. I own him on two of my four teams right now, and he's just been killing me. And it's more about what you're saying about Philadelphia, where you just don't know where you're going to get on a nightly basis. You don't know the brand. You don't know the structure, the style. Is it going to be low scoring? It just seems like that's been the route for this team. And they've had some files escalate throughout the year, but then they get back to reality, and it's like they really, really struggle. But it hasn't been a great year for Owen Tippett, so I'm going to fold, Jake.
Sometimes you do have to know to walk away from the table. I've learned that the hard way,
true,
Nick. But I'm the type of guy that likes to play a couple more hands, you know, and that can get you into trouble. But I'm going to play a couple more hands on Owen Tippett and kind of see where this thing goes. I've got one for you, a player that's basically in the cooler right now. I personally think there's enough on this file to hang on for a little bit longer. But Sam Bennett of the Florida Panthers, Nick, not happening for him at all over these last few weeks. Hold or fold on Sam Bennett of the Panthers?
It has to be hold. I just, you know how I feel about contract year guys. You know how I feel about the Florida Panthers in general, Jake. I think they're going to start to cook in the second half of the season. I think they're going to figure it out. And I think a guy like Sam Bennett is going to play better and better as the year goes on. And when that guy starts to smell the Stanley Cup playoffs and the fantasy playoffs at that, I think that's when he plays his best hockey.
Well, there are a couple Panthers, for as great as that team is, that have not been producing in fantasy hockey lately. Sam Bennett, Carter Verhaeghe is another one that struggled at times recently, where he hasn't met that value that we'd expected at the top of the season. But I'm with you on your general comments on Florida. I think they're a team that's just slow playing the regular season, and we're going to see them crank it up a little bit later. So hopefully that's good news if you've got any of their players in fantasy.
The next guy I have, and Pete Jensen's going to love this because this guy has cracked the Week 15 waiver wire list, but is Brock Nelson. I've been adamant behind the scenes, man. This guy has been killing me this season. I own him every year. Having said that, the last 2 games, Jake, 2 goals, 2 assists, 42 games, 12 goals, 25 points. This one's interesting because it's pretty much the same stat projections, the same numbers as Owen Tippett, and I just said fold, but I'm actually going to hold on Brock Nelson.
is part of that hold to do with the fact that he could become a trade candidate at some point off the New York Islanders to a better situation? My only problem with that, Nick, we know how they've managed this team over the last handful of years. They seem perfectly content being in an average to below average hockey team without ever looking towards the future, trying to make any sort of moves. I've been banging that drum for years, saying the Islanders need to do something to shake this up, and they've shown us nothing that they're about to do that. So we can talk about a potential Brock Nelson trade, but are they actually going to pull the trigger on something like that? That would be my question.
Yeah, this is more of the story. You're right, because the Islanders are not very good offensively. In fact, here on this Monday, they're 26th in the league in goals for, and that's always going to be a question when you own their files. So while I'm you know, telling people to hold on a guy like Brock Nelson, I mean, there's no foregone conclusion that he is going to be traded here, right? And I think along those lines, Noah Dobson's another guy we get questions about all the time. I'm folding, Jake. It's just way too late in the season. I think there's some other guys in the blue line who can help my team right now.
Crazy we got there with Dobson. He would have been on a short list for me for one of the defensemen I would have wanted most coming into the year in fantasy. Even with the team that he plays on, I just thought he had potential for a monster year there on the island. So I think going back to Nelson, though, still more of a hold for me, because even if he does stick on the Islanders, he's shown that he can score on that team and he can be a valuable fantasy producer. And on the off chance they do decide to change gears a little bit, actually look towards the future, and you end up with Nelson on a decent line combo on a different team, I think there's enough there to hang on for a little longer.
I'll be honest, a lot of these guys on my list are defensemen, like Miro Haskinen's there, Chris Letang. Both those files you've been intrigued with, namely Haskinen, right?
Haskinen, I think, is always going to be a hold for me, Nick. I'm always going to see potential there. But the offense is so disappointing. It's kind of shocking to see, based on where he was a couple years ago to where it is now. Still an excellent defenseman. We know what he does for Dallas. But from a fantasy side, it's just tricky. The production just isn't there. Letang might be a little bit more of a fold for me, just because we're seeing a shift in that back end. I don't know if you're seeing anything different here, Nick. But obviously, we know Carlson's there. Matt Grizzlick, who I think Petey brought up Grizzlick a few weeks ago. And I was like, whoa, Matt Grizzlick. And he's actually getting some power play run as well. So Letang might be at the point where it's a fold for me.
I'm folding on both these guys, Jake. I just talked about patience no longer being a virtue. Like, Haskinen is the file that kills us every season. Top 100 entering the campaign. He's outside the top 300, Jake. I don't know what you're waiting for. There's like 6-7 weeks remaining in the fantasy season here.
I've got one for you, and it comes from Vegas. We know how great Vegas has been this year. A lot of great fantasy files on this team, but Tomáš Hertl, it hasn't really happened for him consistently. Obviously, in a deep league guy, I think you're hanging on to him, but is there anything with that file that's kind of concerning you, Tomáš Hertl in Vegas?
Everything. Fold. Like, this is a guy going into the year. You need consistency from your fantasy players. Like, that's the only reason in a non-keeper format why we own these guys. And when they don't produce, you drop them. I mean, plain and simple, Jake.
Yeah, it pains me to say it because I've always been such a Hertl fan, but it's his role in Vegas is so much different than it was in San Jose. In San Jose, he was really the only guy, especially when they were trending towards a rebuild. Now he's kind of playing a middle six role in Vegas. The other guys are getting a little bit more of the shine. I think he's a tough own outside of a deep league right now.
How about the former captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, Claude Giroux, who's got 4 points in the last two games, 42 games on the season, 9 goals, 28 points. He's teetering for me, Jake.
He's teetering to the point where I think I'm folding at this point. I have tons of respect for what Claude G has done in this league for so many years, and I still do think there's some potential maybe in a deep league, but not a guy I would trust on my roster right now.
I'm surprised. I didn't even know he was still in the league, to be honest. And Nick, a lot of folding out of you, Nick. I'm going to have a rule, though. If you're folding, then you have to start giving me some players that you're willing to pick up, because there's a lot of folding on your end, not enough players in the fantasy world. Who are you picking up? And how about the Rangers, Nick? Where are we looking at with all these Rangers guys? Are we holding or folding on those guys?
Well, the waiver wire list, yeah. That's where we're headed. That's why we did the hold and fold sort of idea for today's. And Kaapo Kakko is a guy, Bob. If you want an answer right now, I'm buying right now on Kaapo Kakko with Seattle, even though that team as a train wreck. The last name I want to throw out there, and I'm going to hold on this guy because I own him in my keeper league, and he is an intriguing name because Freddie Anderson's coming back, Jake, but Pyotr Kochetkov, that 901, that 901 number, just, you know, it's scary. It is scary for me.
Well, I've folded half my roster at this point, so I'm going to need PD to help me out in the waiver wire segment. Give me some names I can look at and pick up to supplement all these folds. But I am holding on Kochetkov, Nick, strictly for the fact that he plays on a team that's going to win a lot of games down the stretch. Yeah. That's simply it for me. There might be some because you know Carolina plays this style where they heavily outshoot their opponents. They might only give up 17, 18 shots, but he'll give up two or three goals. They win the game. For me, that's enough to have value in fantasy hockey. So hold on Kochetkov.
And look who just joined the chat. We welcome in once again the great Anna Dua from Sportsnet. How are you, Anna? How you doing?
I love Peter Kochetkov. He's one of my favorite players of all time.
A little shout out to Anna, who we all know with the Kochetkov stuff is a little over the top, Nick, right?
He's been disappointing. 901 save percentage this season. I mean, the record speaks for itself, but you just don't know when you own him in fantasy hockey what those numbers are going to be like. But as Jake mentioned, we're going to get those wins. But obviously, as Bobby asked about the New York Rangers, that's a big topic of conversation. They are playing a bit better as of late, Jake. Yeah. We talked about Kreider. He's on injured reserve. Fox, I'm holding. Zibanejad, I have attachment to the file. I'm holding. I think he's a guy you can't drop because you could easily drop him. He can pick up steam again. Any other points you want to make on the Rangers here, Jake?
Well, yeah, and I think to wrap on Carolina and the goaltending, wouldn't be shocked if they make some sort of move for a goaltender before the deadline. So something to keep an eye on as we move forward there. I don't know how much you could really attack that from a fantasy side, though. The Rangers, I am seeing signs of life, Nick. I really am. I think for some of these top players you're holding and kind of seeing where this is going to go over the next couple weeks, and the Eastern Conference has waited around for them. If they want to rhyme off a bunch of wins in a row, they can get right back into this thing because there's a couple spots available in the East that maybe aren't available in the West. So does that motivate the team a little bit? Can we back them in fantasy? Maybe find some betting angles, some good prices on the Rangers as well. I'm seeing very, very small signs of life there.
Jake is seeing a pulse on Broadway. How about that? And there's a plethora of teams involved in that. It is very faint, but there's a plethora of teams involved in that playoff conversation. A lot of them of which are red hot. I know we've been high on Detroit the last couple weeks with the coaching change. It's been a mega boost to that team. But the injury wire this week, not many names, Jake, but Dylan Gunther, the big one that stands out for me, out indefinitely, lower body injury. I think it's going to be difficult for Utah to stay afloat there in the Western Conference. But a one guy that intrigues me now with Gunther down, he got recalled, is Josh Doan.
Josh Doan, yeah, remember when he came up and he had that great little run? So I like that shout. Probably available in almost any league. I think worth a flyer, specifically in a deep league. Unfortunate about Dylan Gunther, a guy I really like to back in the prop market, who's obviously been a solid fantasy asset as well. And with only one spot truly available in the West, I think a depleted Utah team, it might just be too difficult with some of those other teams playing better at the moment. So I like the Doan shout out. Maybe a couple guys in-house. Can we get a Lawson Crouse going, something like that? I think there's some names that could soak up those power play minutes for Gunther.
Elsewhere, Charlie Lindgren goes down for Washington. I don't know what they're going to do with that crease situation. Both guys are UFAs. Both guys are lefties. But upper body, Logan Thompson's been a great story this season. What a find.
So I think this is a boost if you own Logan Thompson, who, as we know, has been excellent already. But the problem with Logan Thompson, if there is one, is you only get every other start, right? He's kind of on that Omark Swayman diet from a couple of years ago, where the starts are great, but you only get them every other game. And now with Lindgren down and out of the picture for the time being, I don't know if they're going to trust anybody outside of Logan Thompson. So I'd expect him to get the majority of starts here if you're a Logan Thompson owner. You hate to cheer for injuries, but this is pretty good news for you.
All right, Jake, we're going to bring in Pete Jensen for a look at Week 15 and the waiver wire list. But sit back, relax as I dissect this week's schedule, okay?
Oh,
got a lot of question marks.
Dissect it like
this.
A frog in science class. Come on.
Am I going to have to call Steve Hatzipetros, get him on the line? Nico Torchia, Brian Tarracone? I know there's some consternation about the schedule this week, Nick. Let it fly here.
That's an excellent word. But yeah, 51 games this week, 41 of which have been scattered across 3 days, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. That's difficult from a fantasy perspective, guys, because you got to make some tough decisions. You got 3 on Monday, 13 Tuesday, 2 on Wednesday, 13 Thursday, 2 on Friday, 15 on Saturday, and then we wrap with 3 on Sunday. The four game teams: Calgary, Dallas, Detroit, Edmonton, Florida, Montreal, Jersey, the Rangers, Ottawa, and Philadelphia. The two-game teams: Jake, Boston, Buffalo, and the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, Bobby's throwing big words at us. You could throw another one: manipulation. Schedule manipulation. That is what we need for this week, Nick. When we see these schedules, as a hockey fan, do we love it? not necessarily, because you get those busy nights where you feel like you're chasing it, and then you get a night where there's one or two games, and they might not even be quality. So from a hockey watching perspective, maybe not the best, but I actually do think these are weeks that you can take advantage in fantasy if you're on top of it. Find guys playing on the light nights. Obviously, you're going to have to make some difficult decisions on those busy nights, but I think a chance, if you're dialed in, to really make an impact this week in fantasy.
I need the multiple screens. We're seeing Ottawa play four times this week. The only reason why I was excited to do today's podcast was to hear Pete Jensen try to pronounce the Senators goalie. So go ahead, Pete.
Levi Merilainen.
Yes,
that's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing through the grapevine. No, it's what I'm hearing on the broadcast. This guy has four wins in six games. He's rookie eligible. The bottom half of the top 10 rookie rankings has been up for grabs all season long. Now we're starting to see Dobesh from Montreal, who won again the other day, and Marilyn. And it seems like all these teams in the East are not saying no to being involved in the playoff race, including the Ottawa Senators, even with Linus Ullmark out for the foreseeable future.
And they trusted him enough to play both games on the weekend. And he backed it up by winning both games on the weekend. So Crazy. You do something like that, that's going to earn you some more starts. I do think worth keeping an eye on, Pete. Sticking with goaltending, me and Nick were tossing around Kane's goaltending a little bit with Kochetkov and what could happen there moving forward. You got Dustin Tokarski on your list, journeyman Dustin Tokarski, but he's having a little bit of an impact here in the NHL.
It's amazing. On some of these teams, even though like we were telling you how bad the Colorado goaltenders were before, like Mackenzie Blackwood has been like at a 920 since the trade, and Dustin Tokarski, who was called up as the third stringer, of course, with Freddie out, and Kochetkov's the number one there. He is 4-1. I mean, he has a shutout. He's got a 2.00 goals against average this season in five games. Small sample size, but we've reached the point here. Anytime he gets the call with, I think, the deepest defense in the entire NHL in front of him, you just got to roll him out there for spot starts in fantasy, plain and simple.
NHL Fantasy is where you can catch us on social media, and whoever heads that, maybe it's producer Bob Bender, was really, really excited. Bulk posting on Sunday for the Detroit Red Wings, a 7-game win streak, Pete. Probably you, to be honest. I know it was. But we're excited, obviously, about Detroit. They're scoring goals. They're getting saves, and we're seeing, again, a bit of a reunion here with McClellan and Cam Talbot in there, right?
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is his twice former coach. He's the coach that coached him in Edmonton years back when he had 42 wins. Remember that many moons ago? Then also he was the coach for a while last year with the LA Kings when Cam Talbot was an all-star. Remember they fired him right around the all-star week and stuff like that. But Cam Talbot was a nice value signing for LA last year. And he's been great during this run under McClellan here. I don't have full trust in this player, but I think when you look at some of his peripherals and stuff like this, you could at least trust the name. He has enough of a track record to maybe keep Detroit in contention here, especially when Alex Lyon is banged up.
Pete, it would not be a waiver wire list without a Columbus Blue Jacket on the list. That's become a weekly occurrence, maybe one, two, three of them on the list. This week you do have one. With Sean Monahan out, it looks like it's opening up an opportunity for a younger player to step up here.
Yeah, I know Meany was talking about Fantilli last week, and you guys were as well. I really like this player, third pick from 2 years ago. I think that he's one of the fastest players in the league. Remember last year he missed time and he was still way ahead of Connor Bedard in the 20-plus mile-per-hour speed burst. He's just outside the top 10 of the entire league in that edge stats category this season, and he's got a 5-game point streak. So I love what they're doing. They're finally throwing him onto the first power play, the top line with Marchenko and Voronkov. Gives those guys a chance to have some staying power in Monahan's absence. And I'll just go out there and say this. I love the Columbus Blue Jackets this season. They're playing with an edge. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're playing with emotion. They're playing with motivation. And they're a contending team when everybody thought they'd be in the bottom five. So major props to what this organization has done.
I will second that, Pete. A guy we talked about a bit earlier on, I'd love for you to chime in on this conversation about hold or fold. But is Brock Nelson, he started to pick up his play as of late, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Brock Nelson would add so much to a contending team. I mean, tell me any team that he wouldn't improve and maybe put over the top. The Minnesota Wild, the Boston Bruins, the Colorado Avalanche, any one of them. I know he's from up in Minnesota, so a lot of people would probably love to see him go there, including myself. But, Yeah, I think that he's starting to play with renewed purpose. I know he was added to the Four Nations tournament. And then a lot of people, like they were with Kreider, questioning that decision. Not so fast. A couple of nice road victories, three in a row for the Islanders. They're in contention. Brock Nelson on the second line. Now that Barzal's back and Duclair's back and stuff like that, they got a little bit more scoring depth, and I think that Nelson's going to keep this thing going strong up until the trade deadline, whether he gets traded or not.
Kind of similar to Columbus, another team that we didn't expect a ton from that's ended up on your list quite a bit this year, Petey, is the San Jose Sharks. You got another name on here, a guy I quietly liked all year, Will Eklund. I thought he probably should have been on Sweden for Four Nations. Maybe we'll see if a spot opens up for him, but you like what Eklund's doing in San Jose.
95th percentile among forwards and top shot speed at 93-plus miles per hour. He's only 18% rostered. We had him on the list a couple of months ago, I think. Missed a little time because of injury. Is still second on that Sharks offense in points for the season at large. And he's got 4 in 4 games since returning from that injury, with 2 of them coming on the power play. And a nice shot volume as well, with 13 in those 4 games. So, yeah, I just really love the player. It's one of those guys, like, why are people not picking this guy up more often than 18% rostered? So just wanted to give everybody a reminder there. No, don't sleep on William Eklund.
Can you repeat those edge stats again, Petey, or whatever the hell you just said? Because I couldn't understand what you were saying. I know the listeners want to know about this too, and we can move on. Come on. What did you just say?
His top shot speed. He's got a hard shot, man. Okay. Nobody knows hard who shot. He is, unless you're a Sharks fan, unless you're – but you've been watching the prospects around the league. I don't think people appreciate what the Sharks are building. I saw they had 9 first-year players this season, someone was talking about. And Eklund was on the team last year, so he's just getting better and better.
Well, all NHL employees, they get like a $15,000 bonus if you somehow mention edge stats throughout the course of, you know, the year. So me and Petey are trying our best there, Nick, okay?
Code. Yeah, no, nobody told us about that, but it's code for pick 'em up for Pete Jensen. That's what it means. So I like that in San Jose. How about the wily old veteran in Carolina, the captain of the Canes, Jordan Staal, has been on fire lately, Pete.
Yeah, Meany was telling me he picked this guy up last week, and he's been amazing. He's covering almost every category in the book. He's also an edge stat standout, offensive zone time percentage. You know that the Hurricanes are always leading that category through and through from a team standpoint and individuals. They got like 6 of the top 10 or something, one of which is Jordan Staal. So I love that. The top skating speed, he's fast, high danger shots on goal. Jordan Staal checks a lot of boxes, whether you're talking about fantasy or real life, and he's keeping Carolina in contention for the Metro here.
We're just going to be talking Staal brothers forever, aren't we? These guys just won't quit. Still talking Jordan Staal in 2025. It's incredible. Another guy that's a bit of a veteran, maybe not quite to the extent of Jordan Staal, but Justin Falk, Pete. I think the Blues are quietly playing some solid hockey, got themselves into this playoff conversation under Jim Montgomery. What are you seeing with Falk on the back end there?
So we were talking all about Detroit, and since that coaching change, they rank 2nd in the league in goals per game. You know who's first? St. Louis Blues. Not something that I really expected, but they are playing good hockey. Falk came back from a brief injury absence, is playing really well. His past 6 games played, he has 7 points and really good category coverage. Like Justin Falk, even when he gives you like 10 straight games in a dry spell with no points, he's still covering shots, still covering hits, and still covering blocks every single day of the week. So that's why we're highlighting him. And he still, you know, sees power play time and stuff like that. The Blues and the Red Wings are the 2 of the 4 teams that are really seeing an uptick in different areas after the coaching changes.
We're going deep here where Erik Gustafsson, 1% rostered in fantasy, is on your list this week, Pete. Can you explain that and also maybe give an opinion on the conversations we had earlier on about some of these defensemen that have been around that we drafted relatively high, like Haskinen, Letang, and others, and Dobson, who are just not producing? When you cut bait on these guys?
Right, even I wanted to throw in another name, Holder Fold, Adam Fox. You guys were talking about the Rangers. Like, Fox has been a big disappointment. I had him as a top 5 defenseman in the preseason. Where has that guy been? I would hold on Fox. I'd probably cut on Zibanejad and Kreider at this point, but I do like Fox. I would hold on to him. Erik Gustafsson's a former 60-point defenseman. He's playing in a secondary role for Detroit, and Detroit's such a top-heavy team that I'm just looking for some other names. I don't really trust Tarasenko, don't trust Compher, don't trust those type of guys, but Gustafsson is whipping it around on the power play and has been very productive under McClellan.
It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit connectsontario.ca. As you bring in from Snapback Sports, it is Tim Kalinowski. What's going on, Tim?
What's going on, fellas? I just want to talk pucks. I guess we're going to talk ball, too. But I get pucks and balls. Everything. Everything.
Every sport in the world. I have to start with Detroit because I love coaching bumps and what they do for teams. I'm starting to get a little feel on the Red Wings right now. They've won 7 of 8, Timmy.
I haven't had a feel for the Red Wings in about 5 years, Nick. And I was just looking. They are plus 500 to make the playoffs on Bet365. So it seems like the bookmakers aren't quite buying it. And I also did a quick research. I'm not great at using the computer, but a couple of the sites I never heard of said that Detroit had the toughest remaining schedule in the NHL. So that causes me concern to not quite fire away at that. I think when things like this happen, and you know, it's hard to explain coaching bumps, right? What exactly is it? I'm fine playing the other 31 teams in the NHL right now until I can get a handle on Detroit.
Love Timmy with the research, guys. Someone on this show had to do a little research, so I'm glad to hear Timmy True. Brought it today with that schedule, and that's what we need. That's what we need to know to figure out this mess in the Eastern Conference. Is there any other teams there that interest you, though, like from a gambling perspective here moving forward, second half? Any of those other teams in the East in that playoff race? Because it's basically everybody except Buffalo right now.
It is. And, you know, I guess if I had to pick one, I think a team that we continue to overlook, right? Every year we're like, all right, which one are you picking out of the Ottawas, Detroits, and the Buffaloes? The Columbus Blue Jackets, fellas. I think this is a team that continues to get overlooked. I like betting them on a night-to-night basis. I think that they I think that just Columbus continues to get undervalued in a sense, and we kind of forget about them. But the Columbus Blue Jackets, for me, they kind of remind me a little bit of like last year's Flyers, where every time you bet on them, it seems like you were getting the best possible effort from Tortorella's team. I really like what I see with Columbus right now in terms of a night-to-night basis.
So, Timmy, I've had a slogan. I had a slogan when they entered the league. I'm back on it. Fade the Kraken. They've dropped 10 of the past 13 games, 8 overs in that time frame, by the way. And I believe their president was on the trip with them. Like, something is about to give. And lucky for them, they played Buffalo over the weekend. They were down 2-0, scored 6 unanswered goals, but then didn't realize they had a game on Sunday against Detroit because they didn't show up.
It's been the year of the owner or the president is on the trip. Are they meeting with the team on the trip? Or are they just looking? Maybe they were just trying to get away from the family during the holidays, whatever it was. But it's been the year of that. The Kraken for me, look, since they drafted that team, you know, in the expansion draft, I feel like they have been exactly what that team was on paper. You know what I mean? Like, this is exactly kind of, they're not tremendous, but they're not bad enough to fall to like the absolute bottom of the league. So I don't know. Would you look back and do it differently? But they, to me, it's like the Kraken are exactly what they are on paper. And I'm not shocked by this with the Kraken, and it's going to be interesting to see if they do sell off pieces, what it looks like. Yeah. The Kraken for me, it's like, look, they weren't going to get the Vegas was such a outlier when they came in that I think maybe for the Kraken, we expected them to be better. But to me, this is the team on paper, exactly where they are in the standings.
Seattle has some good players. I think they have a couple great players, but do they have that high-end talent to really make an impact, right? I think that's what they've been lacking since putting this team together, that game-changing player, that superstar player. We got some superstars on Monday night, guys. And look no further than the Edmonton Oilers. They're hosting LA. Familiar matchup, as we know these teams meet each other in the playoffs every single year. Is this a chance to maybe back the Kings as big dogs? Motivation being an angle here, or is Edmonton just a bad matchup for them, Tim?
Timmy, I'm taking a shot on this. Sorry to interject. This is one of my plays today. I like L.A. The Oilers coming back after a grueling Eastern road trip. I'm going to take a shot in L.A., Timmy.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I saw the same thing you did, Nick. First game back, that's a spot for me. I like to back. But then this is 3-4 for the Kings. And, you know, they went Winnipeg to Calgary. And now, you know, obviously playing Edmonton here. When I look at these lines, I'm actually having a really good year betting the NHL. I don't want to quite say it out loud. You can follow me in the Pickett app. I'm having a really good year.
Guaranteed loss tonight because he said that.
Yeah, I know. I've been ready for it. Look, I've been ready for it. But one of the things for me is I think, you know, like you said, you look at the Edmonton thing. Is there a tax on the fact that it's the first game back from the road trip, like you said? But then on the other side, LA, 3-4 games. To me, I think it's too much baked in for LA's situation, and that's where I see the value on LA. I sometimes I get wrapped up too much into those scheduling spots, but I think net-net, where it's a little too much love to the Oilers here. I wouldn't mind rolling the dice with LA. To me, a team that is has been a pleasant surprise. Look, them in Washington, that trade, it worked out for both teams, apparently. And I think the LA Kings here as an underdog, I think there's some room there, Nick.
Fair enough. I'm not crazy about the rest of the card on Monday, so I'm going to jump to Tuesday, boys. A couple games I'm looking at specifically. Give me the under Seattle and Pittsburgh. 5 of 6 all-time meetings have been to the under. Both teams have been a train wreck defensively. You got Disco Dan Bylsma back in Pitt in that game. Give me the under 6.5, or if it's even 5.5 in that game. And San Jose Detroit, Jake, I like the over. 4 or 5 outings have hit the over. Another Todd McClellan revenge game. Love those.
I don't mind that. Obviously, Detroit's playing a little bit better both ends right now. San Jose, they tend to suck teams into playing that run-and-gun style, and oftentimes they do lose the game. But I like that from an over side. I wanted to get your take on the futures market a little bit here, Tim. If you have any thoughts on the Hart Trophy, because I think this is the market that you could still dip into if you wanted to. The favorite over at Bet365 right now is actually Connor McDavid at +350, and I don't even know if he'd be on my ballot right now if we were handing out the trophy. So I think you can find some value on this one. Is there anybody that jumps out to you in that Hart race?
Well, first, Nick, I mean, you were so the Kaprizov pick. I loved it. We talked about it. And now, unfortunately, you know, with the injury, it's this is a really tough market. I'd be looking somewhere other than McDavid down the list. I'm going to say I kind of like Jack Eichel. 30-1, Bet365. Okay. Eichel's a guy. I still think Vegas is you know, one of the best teams in the league. And then I like to make that match. Okay, one of the better teams in the league. Who's their guy? Who's their runner? To me, it's Jack Eichel. I think he's having a tremendous season. I think I looked at Vegas at the end of last year, and it was, you know, they couldn't get that full lineup together to what they were capable of. They were my Stanley Cup pick going into the season, so I'm all in on Vegas. And if I had to play right now, it'd be Eichel 30-1.
And that Vegas Stanley Cup pick has been very kind, and I've enjoyed having a little something on Vegas, watching them every night, and they do look like, boy, oh boy, they got a shot here in the playoffs. That team is built, we say it all the time, built for the playoffs, Nick. So, Timmy, I appreciate it, Timmy. I appreciate you throwing that out there preseason because I'm enjoying the run.
You have to.
Vegas is scary. They're going to pick somebody up, too. You just know it. March 7th, the trade deadline. They're going to get somebody good, and they're going to be on a roll and a run there for Vegas. So I like that look. A team that beat Vegas the other night, I want to ask you about, Tim, in terms of how to bet this team. That's the New York Islanders. So Pete talked about it. They've won 3 in a row. They're about to start the most important stretch of their season, a 7-game homestand. You got Ottawa, Philadelphia, San Jose, Columbus, Philadelphia again, Carolina, and Colorado. How are you betting the Islanders over the next couple weeks?
The other team. The Islanders.
Be nice.
Yeah. You know, look, I miss my friend doing my podcast with Michael Leboff, you know, diehard Islanders fan. But the only good thing about not talking to Leboff every day has been I'm no longer brainwashed by the New York Islanders. I think maybe that's the biggest reason for my turnaround this year, betting the NHL. The Islanders, they just do too many things that lose them hockey games, no matter what it is. It's hard to quantify, but at the right times, they always seem to be doing the wrong thing. And I think there's going to be value on the other teams in there. I'm not going to blindly bet it, but there'll be some situations there. I think the Islanders are a really hard team to put in, where I'm from, real United States currency.
Yeah, I do a great job of just never betting the Islanders. It's worked out quite well for me, guys. So, Tim, I like your take on it. Just bet the other side on this one, especially if we can get some decent numbers. One team I think we might get some decent numbers on over the next couple of weeks, and we have been, and a team that's been quite good to me, guys, we haven't mentioned them on this episode, the Montreal Canadiens. I think we're going to get some decent prices. They go to Utah on Tuesday. Then they go to Dallas. We know they're going to be probably a sizable dog in that one. They come home to the Maple Leafs. Tim, are you seeing anything in this team? Is this just a team that's, you know, kind of finding ways to win games, or is it legitimate, and should I be backing them these next couple weeks against some tough opponents?
Look, this Montreal thing, I think there was no coincidence when you look back as they started to go on this run, was Line A back. And not only was that good for them because they were a team that needed help goal scoring wise, but just the vibe of that team, it just kind of changed a little something. Sometimes it's a little thing, right? In the NHL, you know, these guys, it's something that is just galvanizes the room. So I like Montreal in the right spots as a dog. I had them against Washington a couple days ago. Time feels like a flat circle, but I do like Montreal, and they give you, look, that those can make a week getting a big, plus 200 of the Montreal Canadiens. So I do like them, and I don't think the market is quite adjusted for them.
That's tough for a Bruins fan to say as well. Tim, you're the best. Thanks so much for your time today.
Appreciate it, Nick.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnectsOntario.ca. Pete Jensen, you have the floor. Anything else you're looking at this week, bud?
I got two futures angles for you. First, Connor Hellebuck, I think, is making a case for the Hart Trophy. You can get him at plus 400. He led all goalies in all categories last year, and he's doing the same thing once again, and he is the heart and soul of the Winnipeg Jets. So I like that number. He's fourth on the odds board and rising day by day. And then a long shot, Marty St. Louis. I was the only person who picked him to be in my top five for the Jack Adams on NHL.com. I can't understand why, but I love what he's doing. He's a fan favorite. I could see the narrative shift in his direction. Everybody knows who Marty St. Louis is. Nobody really knows who Spencer Carberry is over the course of the season. You could get on Bet365 Marty St. Louis to win the Jack Adams at plus 3,000.
Wait, we're throwing strays now at Spencer Carberry. Is that what we're doing here on the pod?
This has got the name value, baby, right? That's what the voting is all about. Marty St. Louis was a fan favorite as a player for multiple teams. And I think that as a coach, he has maybe the biggest surprise of the season. I don't know how Montreal is in contention right now.
How hard does he what's the edge stats on his shot, though, Pete? You got anything? All right, put a ball.
I'll give you the edge stats on Line-A's shot. He's leading the league from the left side, even though he's only played like 15 games.
Carberry on the ice, 0.5 mile per hour skate speed. Okay, put a bow, Nick. Thank you.
Our apologies to the Carberry family for that little excerpt there. But anyways, coming up later on this week, week 15, mailbag edition. Also, make sure to check out NHL Unscripted with Adnan Virk and Jason Damaris. The latest featuring Ian Bag, great, fantastic comedian, and Frank the Tank, Frank Fleming, on the podcast. So can't wait for that one. To check that out, boys. Love it.
Yeah, I got a note from NHL PR czar that this might be my last few days here with the league because of the Frank Fleming interview. But you know what? We gotta drive listenership somehow, Nick. Okay, goodbye. Say goodbye.
Thank you to producer Bob Bender. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Tim Kalinowski, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.